Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's episode 372 of Top Rope Nation. Ryan Drosty, Jesse Velasquez, Justin Joint, and our very special guest, Mr. Ryan Huffman, joining us to count down Royal Rumble 2025. I even got my oldest daughter in the office right now listening in. I told her she could appear on screen very briefly. She's going to be listening in as we count down the Rumble and everything that we saw last night. We're yeeting all over the place this morning. Justin Joint, how are you doing?
I am feeling frazzled this morning. It's been one heck of a morning so far. And I don't know who's madder. People who rate matches and events on Cage Match or Dallas Mavericks fans right now.
I'd be a hell of a lot madder if I was a Dallas Mavericks fan.
What are they doing?
Dude, I messaged our friend Brian Zillum last night, and I was like, ... wellness check.
It's like, man,
it was late. You know, it was like after midnight or something when that news came, Central Time Zone, and he responded, and he was not happy.
I mean, the only thing I can try and like grasp to understand what is happening here is that the Mavs got hints that Luka was gone after next year. He's got, you know, another year on his contract and then a player option. I don't think he's going to take the player option. So they must have thought he was gone for good, or else, you know, supposedly they were nervous about his conditioning with giving him such a big contract. But how you can't do better than brow a 32-year-old Anthony Davis and, you know, a future first-round pick from a franchise that is almost always competitive. So I don't know. I don't understand that at all.
That's the thing, is if it feels like they didn't open up the trade talks to anybody else, because they could have got way more for that. Dude, my Bulls could have gave them more. I'm serious. Like, they could have got way more picks. It doesn't make any sense. Like, in the short term, they'll probably, you know, with Brow Davis, they'll probably win some games. But like long term, it makes no sense. No sense at all. So I was stunned when I saw that. Jesse, how you doing?
Rumor has it Luka has been eating quite a bit, and he's looking like Sean Kemp in his Cleveland Cavalier days right now. So that could be part of the reason. Outside of that, I'm going to conserve my energy because I have a weird feeling you guys are going to cut me off a handful of times on this show. It's going to be an all-timer from my end.
Oh, okay. Stay tuned. I'm looking forward to this. I am looking forward to this. We got patron of the show, Ryan Huffman. He has been on the show many, many times at this point. I have lost count, but if you're a longtime listener of Top Rope Nation, you should recognize the soon-to-be Papa Huffman. Mr. Huffman, how are you doing this morning?
Doing real good. Say my name and I appear. So pretty happy to be here. Happy to join you guys here. Just got phone with my older brother who is on his way back from Indianapolis. So he was there live. So got to talk to him about the live experience. So
very nice. Very nice. And I appreciate you wearing the merch this morning. Available at topropenation.com. Thank you, Ryan, for that. Guys, if you're watching us live right now on YouTube, we like doing these morning shows or early afternoon, wherever you are, because it allows the global audience to tune in. If you're checking in across the pond, would love to hear from you in the chat. I see we got some of our American friends here this morning as well. Tim Jensen checking in the chat. He says, yeet, never saw this skeeting. We got Niall Clark coming in across the pond. Hi, everyone. Check in before the Arsenal versus City match. We'll listen to the show afterwards.
I hope they both lose.
Got our good friend Derek Chappelle sipping on an energy and looking at some fine folks talking some wrestling. Love to see Derek in the chat from Memphis. Derek. Alan checking in over from the Northeast. The only thing that makes sense is that nothing makes sense anymore. Very crazy trade. Yes. Yes, indeed. Yeah, like I said, guys, like this video. I'm sure there's like thousands of Royal Rumble podcasts up on YouTube at this point in time. So the more comments, the more likes, the more subscriptions, it'll all help us out. Really, really appreciate that. And of course, this show is available on the podcast feeds as well. So if you're listening to us, make sure you're subscribed and you hit that 5-star rating. And if you want bonus content from Top Rope Nation, hit the link in the broadcast description for Patreon. We got a classic show coming on Royal Rumble 2000 this week. Jesse dropped 2 editions of TRN Unplugged last week. He was really active. Appreciate Jesse very much for that, including a Royal Rumble preview with Michael Jenkinson, another patron of the show. That one I put out for free on the podcast feed. So if you're not a patron and you want to see the kind of content that we are dropping over there behind the paywall, check out that show. I dropped it Friday. It's not just Royal Rumble. You know, they talk about historical stuff. They talk about ECW 1995, which is a series that Jesse is doing right now as well. So you're going to want to check that out. Jesse just went dark. He's ashamed.
I know. I'm not ashamed just yet, at least.
Jesse's getting so mad. He's shaking right now. He had to turn the camera off. I promise we're going to get to it, because we all know Jesse's thoughts on the guy who won the Rumble. First, let's do our grades, though. All right. So Justin Joint, A through F. We'll just go clockwise around the video stream here. What was your grade for the event as a whole last night?
You know, sometimes being a hater of the WWE, more importantly, just the company, and being someone who is pretty disengaged with the product, sometimes that works to my benefit. And I think that was the case here, where I just did not have a real emotional connection to some of the results that upset people, and they just did not upset me. And even though the first half of the show was a bit boring and made me bored, especially because of the long breaks between matches, I mean, it was looking like a pretty bad show, in my opinion. And I thought they really turned things around with the ladder match in the Men's Royal Rumble. And in retrospect, I think I was a little too hard on my initial feelings with the Women's Rumble and the tag team match. I'm going to go B+ with this show. There is stuff that I would go back to and rewatch. I think that was one of the best Men's Rumbles since 2020. And even though I will admit to something a little bit embarrassing about the ladder match, that ended up being pretty freaking incredible. So, you know, 2 matches that I will go back and revisit. And at the very least, I was not bored. Well, I shouldn't say at the very least, I wasn't cringing all that much during this show. So that goes a long ways with me.
My thought before we did this podcast, Justin, is I figured you were going to be higher on it than most people because you are more disengaged from WWE. So if you're not watching the week to week, I can see how, like, you know, just tuning in, you're like, all right, you know, versus Jesse, I can see just itching to jump into this conversation. So Ryan Huffman, give me your grade, A through F.
You know, it's hard for me to grade Royal Rumble poorly, just because, like, I think of all the pay-per-views I watch or PLEs I watch throughout the year, I usually get into this one quite a bit. But I'd probably go B- with Essie Allen, just put a B- up there. I'm somewhere around a B-. Yeah, Women's Royal Rumble, I thought was okay. Tag team match, I blinked and it was over. The other two were pretty good, had some really good spots, but we'll talk about those more. But I'd probably be at a B-.
All right.
Jesse. Just real quick, do the results drop that down for you? Is that what hurts it? I mean, for the most part, the in-ring stuff you enjoyed.
Yeah, I think the end for me probably dropped it like half a letter grade there. I mean, and again, like, I can talk to my brother about it, and he said people there live were just going nuts at the end, and you could feel that through the TV. But for me, it's hard to grade because you got to see where they're going to go with it. But that's my initial thought on that.
Yeah. All right, Jesse, what do you got?
I might change it later. I am going to go C+. Might go back up to B-. I did rewatch from the winner of the Men's Rumble when he entered until the final three, because I was extremely meticulous with notes last night, truly paying attention. I think the only time I was active on Facebook, because I was not looking at anything, Twitter, Blue Sky, anything, was in between matches, and there was a lot of downtime in there. I loved Cody and Kevin Owens. Absolutely loved it. I, for the most part, enjoyed the Rumble, and the only reason I dropped it for now a half letter grade is because of what I watched specifically, again, the winner from the time he entered until the last three men.
Okay. I am very interested to get into the machinations of this match and where our discussion is going to lead. Yeah, before we do, I'll give it a B-. Mostly because of the ladder match. I thought that was an excellent match. I did think the Men's Rumble overall was good. I agree, best since 2020, as Justin said. I would agree with that too. There were some things throughout that I thought they should have done differently, as far as like who eliminated who and some things like that. I saw the thing here in the chat. Where was that? I think it was Derek that said it about the streaming guy. Yeah, can someone explain to me the whole, hey, we need an entrant in here, you random streamer dude you're in. I understand why they do that. He did take a crazy spear for Bron Breakker. I would rather see a wrestler in there, but, you know, whatever. It's the way the world is now, social media and everything. We had Alan Austin. Awesome. I give it a B-. Women's Rumble was predictable. Bliss coming back was great. Tag match was a bathroom break. Ladder was brutal. Men's Rumble was decent. Thankfully, Paul didn't win. Yeah, I wouldn't have been happy if Logan Paul won. So I did like the winner better than that, I will say. So Derek gave it a B. I see that. John checking in the chat. John says, as a very casual fan, I had a blast watching the Women's Rumble with my 16-year-old daughter. She got to see all the legends with the new stars. Her excitement got me into the whole night. There is definitely something to watching it with your kids. And appreciate you tuning in, John, by the way, and from hearing from you here in the chat. When you watch these shows with your kids, it is always more fun. I agree. Most of us guys here agree with that, I think.
That's what factored in my grade, is I watched the entire show with my kid, and I've never seen him more engaged with a wrestling product than he was for the Men's Royal Rumble. I mean, you could not have torn his eyeballs away from that TV screen at all. And he had a blast with the entire show. And so that really helped, my viewing experience.
Yeah. Jesse, are you yeeting yet? how do you feel? I mean, I think we have to start with just who won, and then we can talk more about the match itself, because this is the biggest discussion point, obviously, coming out. Jey Uso wins the Royal Rumble. No, if you couldn't hear, my daughter just cheered. Nobody
she gets it.
Nobody could have seen this going in, just based on the booking. I mean, for sure. You know, Hunter in the post-show scrum was like patting himself on the back that nobody could see this coming. How you feel, Jesse? You're our resident commentator on Jey Uso. You've been keeping track of his push now ever since it started, and the wins, losses, and everything. What do you think about that decision?
Where do you want me to begin?
Anywhere you want.
Okay. Let's start with the touching moment of his son being in the middle of the ring with the after credits and him being able to celebrate that moment with him. As a human being and a father, I appreciate these moments. We've already talked about it. So a huge congratulations to the human, Jey Uso. Cannot remember his last name for the life of me right now. It's his shoot name. But all right, here we go. So I had a lot of notes going into this match, and here is where my notes started. Jey Uso goes in at entrant 20. I said, Jey Uso gets actually his entrance gets the big pop. He's like Scotty Too Hotty on steroids. And the crowd went mild when he hit his moves. Let's keep going. AJ Styles at 21, solid pop here too, shockingly. AJ Styles greater than Jey Uso. All right, let's continue. We're going to go down to number 24. CM Punk, another solid pop. Reigns and Cena stare at Punk. Why is Jey Uso down? Okay. 26, Jey Uso. Let's see here. Oh, here we go. They said, oh my gosh, Michael Cole says, this match is full of main eventers. And I wrote, and Jey Uso. All right, let's go to number 29 here. Let's start scrambling down here. Actually, let's go up. All right. So he spent about 20 of his 30 minutes lying down in the corner. Announcers were continuously putting over Rollins, Reigns, Punk, even Logan Paul to an extent. Somebody work him over in a corner for a minute. Lie down in a corner. He had a super kick to AJ Styles, and I heard somebody fart in the crowd. He accidentally super kicked Sami Zayn out of the match. They had a sweet little stare down. Drew McIntyre hit him with a Glasgow kiss and a claymore, and he went lying down for another 5 minutes. When that whole showdown started going place with Rollins, Cena, Reigns, Punk, he was an afterthought, just lying down completely. He took a pedigree from Seth Rollins at one point and lied down for another 5 minutes while all the true stars in this promotion battled it out and threw each other out. Jey Uso was like pick number 8 or 9 going into this match. So for him to actually go out and win the Royal Rumble because he's moving the most merchandise, okay, that makes sense. But the bell has to ring. And when you are going to be expected to headline a WrestleMania, if you're the men's champion, you should be headlining night 2. If you're going to be headlining WrestleMania, you need to be able to do more than get the crowd's hands waving and you yeeting like a maniac in the middle of it. LA Knight, even when they were back and forth in punch and kick exchanges, was getting more yas than Jey Uso's was getting yeet. So my point is, the World Wrestling Entertainment fans, when they're actually watching the product, are more concerned with the entrances, the mannerisms, as opposed to the in-ring work. Again, as a human, Jey Uso, congratulations. You have been busting your ass for the last 15 years. But do you deserve a WrestleMania main event over the four guys I just mentioned? You have a story with Cena. I didn't even want him to win. I was hoping Punk was actually going to win this Call Me Crazy. But I'm stunned. I'm very disappointed. And we'll see where this goes.
All right. Justin, that was well said. Justin, you jump in.
The crowd fucking loved it. They are serving their audience, and I would say the vast majority of their audience is pretty happy with this outcome. You know, you made the point about his merch sales. You see the Yeet shirts all over the place, and irregardless of, you know, the win-loss booking, obviously more in the loss column, the fans don't care. They got served. You know, at one point when Jey was making his entrance, my son said to me, you know, because this is the kind of stuff that's important to him. He goes, Dad, are there more Yeet people, which he's talking about? Are there more people doing the hand wave in the crowd or more people doing the one Reigns thing, throwing the one finger up? And it really gave me pause because, like, while I'm not going to try and argue that Jey Uso is more popular than Roman Reigns, he is not. He is really freaking popular. The crowd loves doing the hand wave stuff. You know, the match quality does not really bother him that much. And as far as match quality goes, he's going to be in there with Gunther. I think we're all going to agree with that, is that that's who he's going to pick. And frankly, I don't think he's even going to end up main eventing either night of WrestleMania, which is hilarious. I fucking love it that, you know, he's supposed to be the main event guy. And that's just not the case. But it's like, a big part of it is I just don't care. You know, the fans are happy. It made for a really great moment. So I don't know. I thought it worked. Everybody's happy except for Jesse.
Wait, I haven't talked yet. Okay. Don't speak for me. No.
I find this win far less offensive than I did Edge in 21 and Lesnar than 22. And I'm sure we can go way down the list of Royal Rumble winners. And I don't know if Jay's going to touch the top of my offensive winners list.
I'll give you one prediction. Jey Uso will be the first guy out the curtain one night at WrestleMania. It'll be the opening match. He'll be the first guy out the curtain for sure.
But get he's the crowd main going. Event Jey Uso.
Yeah.
He had the best match at WrestleMania 40 last year with his brother.
Nah.
Oh God. What a disaster.
Yes, I'm being sarcastic.
I'll go in a second, but let's hear from our guest, Mr. Huffman. What do you think?
Yeah, the popularity part is really interesting me. I mean, I'm in a middle school, high school setting where pro wrestling doesn't get talked about very much, yet the couple kids that do talk about pro wrestling always talk about Jey Uso right now. And the popularity, I think, you know, good moment, good move. I'm with you guys, though. I told my older brother this morning, I said, this guy's not main eventing night one or night two. If it is, it's opening a show. And then that brings kind of to the point of what is a main event of WrestleMania? Are you opening the show? Are you closing the show? I mean, last year what they opened with, McIntyre versus Priest who was that? McIntyre Rollins. Versus Rollins. Yeah, that opened. And again, you can call it a main event, but if it's not closing the show, I suspect something is going to change. I don't know if it's going to lead to like Punk's promise he gets. I think maybe they're going a different direction with him, but I didn't like the ending, but I get it too. Like I said, crowd was going nuts, and popularity wise, he's up there right now.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, if you had told me 2 months ago Jey Uso would win the Royal Rumble, I would have no problem with it at all. None. I'd be like, yeah, he's one of the most popular guys in the company. All right, you know, let's see what they do. My biggest issue with it is what's happened recently, which makes me think it is a last-minute booking decision. It's like, all right, let's shock everybody and change the result. Because everybody thought it was going to be, you know, Cena or Punk. And they even played into that with, you know, Cena the last guy with them and everything looking so close. I don't understand why he would wrestle Gunther 7 days ago and lose clean if this was the plan. That makes zero sense. It could not have been the plan 7 days ago. And if it was, that's total madness. It makes no sense. Why would you do that? Like, why would I want to see Jey Uso wrestle Gunther again when he lost clean? You know, like everything Gunther said about him going into that match was proven true. So, like, I mean, I was talking with people this on Blue Sky last night. Like, what? There's no juice left to squeeze here. He's lost to Gunther multiple times, including 7 days ago. So why would I want to see that match? So it makes me feel like, and I don't even know what the story is, because like as a babyface, it doesn't make any sense. It's not like where Daniel Bryan kept coming up short because the Authority was screwing him over. Nobody's screwing him over. He's just not good enough. So. I don't get it. I don't know why I would get behind that. So I feel like there has to be some swerve coming and that what we're seeing now is the potential title matches. Like people still thinking it's going to be Cody and Cena's going to win Elimination Chamber or whatever. And Gunther and Uso again. I feel like that's too obvious. And even in the post-show scrum last night, Hunter said, you know, he was joking about everyone thinking they know where they're going. And he's like, I guarantee you nobody knows where we're going with this. Well, then that can't be the match because that's what everyone thinks, right? So that tells me there's going to be some shift. I was thinking of like all kinds of things they could do last night to save it and make me more interested. I'm not going to totally judge it because they could get me interested in it over the next 2 months. And maybe I will be at that point in time. Like what if you had a situation where Sammy wrestled Gunther and Elimination Chamber in Toronto, and Sammy beat Gunther, or Sammy beat Cody, or something like that. And actually, probably make more sense if it was Cody. Sammy beat Cody Rhodes, and Kevin Owens cost Cody Rhodes the title based on their whole storyline, right? And then you did Jey Uso against Sami Zayn, just given their history. You know, that would make sense, although I'm not sure that they would see that as WrestleMania worthy at this point in time. I don't think they're going to go that way, but like, as I was trying to fantasy book that, I could see that. Well, that would make me personally more interested. I don't know if the general audience would like that. Like, would Gunther drop the title too before Mania? I don't know. I don't know what direction they could go. They seem like they set up a triple threat, you know, with mm-hmm. Cena and Punk and Rollins. Is that Mania? Is that before Mania? You know, I don't know. Who knows? I felt at the immediate end of this match, they missed a huge opportunity to do Cena and Punk as the last two. And to have them wrestle, like we always talk about the Rumble where it was Shawn and Taker. And when they were the last two, they basically had a singles match for a while and everyone got super into it. Can't remember what year that was, but they could have done that. You know, if they got it down, if it wasn't going to be Jey Uso winning, if it was going to be the two favorites, that could have been, you know, everyone wants to see Punk and Cena have one more match. They were asked about it right away, you know, when Cena came back and Punk came back. So, man, that would have been electric if they could have had Punk and Cena rejuvenate that feud, have basically a singles match at the Rumble at the end. I felt like that was a huge missed opportunity. I didn't think the crowd was that into it when those two were at the end. It felt like everyone thought Cena was going to win. And even when Uso won, maybe it was just me, but the initial pop from the crowd did not seem that big at all. Yeah. And then as he celebrated, it got bigger. People were just stunned. I don't know. So my biggest issues are just the creative with it. Why would you have the guy lose 7 days ago? It makes no sense. Are we trying to book just to shock people? Because that's kind of a mistake, I think. Is that why they changed their mind? I just can't believe that this was the plan all along. If they were going to do Saturday night's main event, which is one of the most watched shows of the year, I don't get that aspect of it. But Jey Uso, like, to all the points Justin made, is super over. So, you know, if you would have just told me in a vacuum 2 months ago he's going to win, I wouldn't have no problem with it. But it's more to me about the creative I've seen on television and not making logical sense to me and why I should be invested in it.
Yeah, I mean, it's obvious that they're going with the story is Jey Uso always coming up short in the big moments, that he is irregardless of his nickname being Main Event, he is an underdog. And that's what this is going to be. And I don't even hate the fact that he just lost to Gunther, because it's going to make Gunther look like more of a monster and just a bigger hill for Jey Uso to climb. Like, to me, it doesn't have the emotional connection, but if you think about the wrestler and just kind of the wave they're riding, it reminds me of Kofi Mania a lot. And I don't think Kyle was a big fan of it, but I know both me and Ryan enjoyed the Kofi Mania story going into WrestleMania, where he eventually beat Danielson for it. And while, like I said, I'm not gonna be emotionally connected with Jay's story, that's what it is, and it's gonna feel the same to a large portion of the audience, just not the ones who maybe half of this podcast and people who rate the matches on Cage Match.
Yeah, Jey Uso has had way more staying power, overpower than Kofi Mania. I mean, mm-hmm. Has been going for, we're approaching a year. So why wouldn't World Wrestling Entertainment booking listen to this and actually give him high profile wins instead of doing this underdog story again? It's not a lesser than Kofi Mania scenario, but it's very similar. And Big E even mentioned it on commentary last night, how we were tag team wrestlers and working in FCW together and barely getting paid. And then look where we are now. or look where you are now. You're main eventing WrestleMania. Are you, though? So
what a huge indictment of WWE to say that on television. No, we were barely making any money while signed to WWE. mm-hmm. The only wrestling company Big E has ever worked for. Like, come on.
Then you had Jay in the press conference talking about how, like, you know, I just came to work and I never complained. It's like, yeah, I guess that's how you make it to the top in a corporation. You just shut your mouth and do your job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it would have made more sense to wrestle Roman at some point for a championship and have him beat Roman than the avenue that you're going down right now. So, yeah, I mean, this TRN Unplugged, oh, by the way, Patreon, 7-day free trial. I'll tell you is with the tag team wrestling situation, when Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels broke off from their respective tag teams, they were treated like huge deals and elevated to this top spot where Jey Uso has not been in that same time frame. So that's a really good comparison that I made. I guess 2025 pro wrestling has changed quite a bit from yesteryear. The formula is a little bit broken, in spite of the fact they're making money hand over fist.
Yeah. Anyone have any other thoughts you want to chime in about Jey Uso here? Yeah, I just think there has to be some shift coming. I just can't believe it's just going to go forward as scheduled right now. I think there's going to be another twist along the way. So for that, you know, I'm interested to see what happens. We were all big fans of Jay during like the height of the Bloodline storyline. Thought he was awesome during all of that. You know, Jesse and I have not been as high during the Yeet phase here. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, there's no question. There is no question he has the juice from the audience right now. You can watch the TV and recognize that. There's no question.
Yeah, they stripped away a lot of his promo ability over the last year when he separated from the Bloodline, which has been a very limiting factor, I feel.
Yeah. A couple other things I want to talk about in the Men's Rumble. To me, the standout performer of it, once again, and he is every time he's on TV, is Jacob Fatu. I said last night on the Bleacher Report stream, this is going to be the next WWE t-shirt I buy. I haven't bought a WWE shirt in a long time. I'm buying Jacob Fatu's shirt. This dude is incredible. He was so good. He is so charismatic. I was glad that they made him look strong for a while with the eliminations. Just, I mean, I've said this on the pod before. He's everything they wanted Solo Sikoa to be. He is everything that Solo is not. I hated that Braun Strowman threw him out. That was a massive waste, I thought. I know they've had like the back and forth on SmackDown. Braun Strowman's a nobody in 2025. Nobody gives a shit about Braun Strowman. Why is he the guy throwing out Jacob Fatu? That I did not care for. But what do you guys think about Jacob Fatu's performance last night? Let me throw it to Huffman. What do you think of him?
Yeah, he looked really strong. Like, they did everything they needed to do with him other than have Braun throw him out. You know, they had the stare down with him and Roman and the comment about it being a future WrestleMania main event. Fatu probably. I'm not sure it's a main event between those two, but yeah, he definitely was booked pretty well throughout the match.
Yeah. Either of you other guys, jump in.
Yeah, I think him and Bron Breakker were the highlights of the Men's Rumble for me. They did a little bit too much of that this is cinema stare off moments with Fatu. But, you know, again, crowd ate it up. You know, that's exactly what they want. But, I mean, yeah, even more, though, than Jacob, Bron Breakker, those two spears he hit, one on that nerd celebrity, quote-unquote celebrity, and then the one he hit on Reigns was fucking incredible, too. Yeah. And they had a very brief stare down before Sheamus and some other mid-carder interrupted it. But, yeah, man, he's incredible. You know, my fantasy booking was originally, when I thought Cena was going to win it all, was have Cena beat Cody WrestleMania. He breaks the record. And then on the next night on Raw, you have Jacob just nuke Cena for the world title. And then you start building to him and Roman. But they have just perfectly booked Jacob Fatu right now.
Hey, that mid-carder you mentioned was The Miz.
Sounds about right.
Yep.
But he fed families last year with Gunther at Survivor Series. Yeah, sure. Jacob Fatu, yeah, he is an impressive human being in that ring. And this is exactly what they did with Solo Sikoa. Didn't talk much until And then he was used as a vehicle to get Cody Rhodes over to WrestleMania, and then he just started losing. So let's just hope that they continue on this avenue with Jacob Fatu. Yeah, there were a ton of wild, wild west showdowns in this Royal Rumble, and that it kind of irritated me. But in fairness, the camera angles look good.
Yeah, no, Jacob Fatu was awesome. He was a big standout. Punk getting eliminated by Logan Paul.
Interesting.
I was on Blue Sky talking about this one last night as well. A changed man, the CM Punk. Can you imagine even just a couple of years ago, him being approached backstage and being told, yeah, you know, Logan Paul's going to eliminate you. Do you think if CM Punk hadn't burned his bridges everywhere, he would have been cool with that? Because I don't know. I feel like CM Punk would have been throwing hands. You telling me Logan Paul is going to throw me out? What do you think, Jesse?
The advocate for human rights, CM Punk, being thrown over the top rope by a transphobic Logan Paul?
Right.
Money talks.
Yep, that's exactly it. I think Punk is just fine with all of this because he's getting paid and it's basically his only option. You know, as Brian already pointed out. And frankly, Punk Paul is a big matchup. That is a marquee match that they could put on the WrestleMania card. Punk has already teased it. I would not be surprised if that is the direction they might be going. Although that wouldn't bode well for Punk really wanting that actual main event spot at WrestleMania. But, you know, Punk has said in the past, what kind of derogatory? Oh, with Kevin Owens, he made a derogatory mark regarding Owens losing to Logan Paul. You know, he's taken some kind of social media shots at him. So I don't know. Maybe that's Triple H's way of telling Punk to settle down a little bit. It's like, oh, well, you get to be eliminated by this guy now. I don't know.
Huffman, you're a pretty big Punk fan. What did you think of Punk's performance in the Rumble?
The final stretch of the Rumble for me was just a lot of guys who had just gotten in the ring, and then they just kind of were all laying down a lot. I had that issue even in the Women's Royal Rumble match, and I'm like, were they tired from the 5 seconds that they're actually wrestling or from the 100 yards they had to come down the ramp there? But I'll be interested. Again, Punk's the same deal, like I'll say with Uso. It'll be interesting to see where he is going forward. I know the Paul Heyman favor. I don't know. I see him maybe being involved more with like a Reigns or Rollins again here at WrestleMania, but we'll be interesting.
Real quick, Ryan.
Yeah.
I got a text from a friend last night who is very, very casual. Usually she only watches Royal Rumbles, but he said, as someone that has barely watched the last 4 years, how is it that I knew every single dude in there in terms of like the final 10? He asked, who are the new faces? And is it really that they're just pushing the mid-carders from like 4 or 5 years ago to make it look brand new? And I said, yeah, it's about right.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought the first half of the match was really lacking in star power. And they put some interesting people out there right away. Like when Rey came out, I was like, wow, you're Rey Mysterio. Because usually what they've been doing with those first couple is they've been lasting a long time. I was like, man, Rey Mysterio is not going to be out there for an hour, is he, at this point in his career? But they had Penta come out, you know, so they had the two luchadors right away. And Penta was in there a long time, 42 minutes. But like when you looked at the first 10 or so, actually longer than that, basically until Jacob Fatu came out at 12, there was nobody that you could believe would possibly be winning the match. You know, like none of the people that you could actually believe had a chance came out until late. And then you had a lot of star power at the end. We were mentioning Logan Paul here, and there was a situation in the end of the show that we should talk about with Drew McIntyre. So Drew McIntyre reportedly stormed out of the arena last night, and it was not storyline legitimate, according to many different sources. And apparently he was mad about somebody in the match that was like hogging all the spotlight and trying to do all of his spots. And McIntyre's elimination by Damian Priest got a little bit muddled. And I guess people have kind of broken this down that apparently it wasn't just Drew who was mad. There was other people in the match who were mad at this person for taking away from the match and making it all about themselves. Apparently it was either Logan Paul or LA Knight is what people have deciphered. One of those two. Don't know which one, but there was some frustration with Drew McIntyre and he stormed out of the venue, and that it's not a work. It's not a storyline. So something to keep tabs on there. I know Meltzer talked about it on Observer Radio last night. Sean Ross Sapp's been talking about that it was legit. I think PW Insider had something on it as well. So, I mean, it's out there. We'll see what comes of that. I kind of want to rewatch that section. I haven't had a chance to yet, just to see if anything stands out. Anything stand out to you there, Jesse, in the rewatch?
You mentioned who the potential culprits were. I think you hit the nail on the head, because when LA Knight got in there at 29, he was doing a lot of spots in there. And Logan Paul, too, with the double buckshot lariat in the very beginning and just doing a bunch of different spots there, too. So I totally see this as, I think Drew McIntyre is working this into a shoot. I think he did this like a year or a year and a half ago. Or was that Seth Rollins did at Survivor Series where he was like yelling and Michael Cole was holding him back? And it was just a shoot. Yeah. I think this is just a shoot.
I mean, that's what the Royal Rumble is. The new entrance goes in and does all of his moves while everybody just lays around and watches. So, yeah, if it's for real, then it's a matter of Drew McIntyre being upset because he's staring down what will likely be a mid-card match at WrestleMania, assumingly with maybe Damian Priest. That's not going to be anywhere near the top of the card. And this is Drew McIntyre, who's been in some big stories, some big matches for the last 2 years. I mean, you go back to 2020 when he won the title, but you know, you think about the match he had with Punk this fall at Hell in the Cell, and now he's kind of, you know, a little, as far as main event guys, he is very much an afterthought right now. Both, you know, not only in perhaps the direction he's heading, but whatever this fucking story they've been telling with him, where he just keeps losing.
An amazingly active chat down here. I wanted to thank all of you guys who are watching right now. And real fast, to the person who said that Chad Gable versus Gunther sounds way better than Jey Uso versus Gunther, I hate to break it to you, but Chad Gable has just become Dolph Ziggler 2025. Makes everybody look good in jobs.
One of the most underutilized talents they have, unfortunately. They had a real window with him, you know, where it was with the IC title, where they could have gone more all in on him, and he's just become a joke of an act, unfortunately. A couple more random thoughts I had on the Rumble, and then you guys can jump in, and then we can move forward with the discussion. I thought this Rumble really highlighted how weak their theme music is right now.
Yeah.
Because there was multiple times when the theme started and we were doing the live stream, me and Jeremy on BR, and we're like, all right, who is this? Yeah, like the only people you know the themes of right away, for the most part, are the old guys who have had the theme forever, people using real music like Punk, you know, also a song he's used forever. A lot of these new things, man, they are so bad. You used to know instantly when the first notes hit who it is. That's one of the weak points in the promotion right now is the theme music. I don't think there's any question about that. Other things, Roman came in way earlier than I thought he was going to.
Yeah.
He was in there a long time. Second longest, 37 minutes for Roman Reigns. Penta was in there the longest at 42. Jay was in there 36 minutes, so he was third longest in the match. Cena did 30 minutes in the match. Drew 26. And I mentioned Mysterio before, 24. And then it's everyone is below 24 from that point on. I mentioned, you know, some of the eliminations that I didn't care for. Logan Paul eliminating Punk. Braun Strowman eliminating Jacob Fatu. Wasn't big on that. You guys have any other random thoughts before we move on? Well, anything we haven't come up?
I mean, we kind of circled around it, but how do we feel about, you know, it really does look like the main event for WrestleMania could be a triple threat match with no world title involved. Do you think that's the direction they're heading?
Yeah. That was big with Roman, Rollins, Punk. While they were just masquerading on the outside and Rollins was delivering curve stomps and brawling with Punk, the three that were left in the ring were just laying there after minimal damage had been done. So the spotlight and the focus was on the true guys that mean something on the outside. I'm starting to think it's going to lean towards Cena, Cody for the world title at WrestleMania, as much as I don't want it. But again, fans probably want it. Cena had a pretty solid post-scrum interview. Didn't take any questions, just put out a press statement.
Wonder why nobody was taking questions for any of the big names.
Well, the biggest name of them all, you guessed it, did take them. But of course, the people who were asking questions didn't want to dig into what they really should have.
And it was only four questions, I think, wasn't it, that Hunter answered? It was very, he talked forever by himself. I was like, man, when is he going to stop talking? He just went on and on and on. And then I think he took four questions, and that was it. I mean, I agree. I think that Triple Threat's going to be the main event one night, and Cena Cody, if that's the direction they're going, is going to be the other. I'd like to see the women get to main event one night, but I mean, if those are the two featured matches, there's no way those have to be featured.
I'm kind of torn with the idea of this triple threat, because it just feels like almost any version of just like a one-on-one between those three is a much bigger deal. And they've got lots of time to tell the story, but it's a lot of star power for a match. But I don't know. I mean, it feels a little bit like that. Well, when Edge won and we ended up with, you know, Reigns, Edge and Danielson, where the reason's got to be pretty good for this. And I think any version of a one-on-one would have been better. Shout out the person in the comments. Yes, I loved the new little ticker at the bottom. Yep. That thing was pretty fantastic. I got a little big and distracting sometimes, but that's something that they should have been doing a long time ago.
I was going to ask you, Huffman. I was going to bring you in on that, what you thought of that.
Oh, I enjoyed it. I think, you know, kind of this TKO era, kind of almost trying to be more of like sports oriented. I think that was, from watching like the NFL draft or having ESPN and things like that, I thought that was a really good addition to make it look a lot better.
They've done a lot of that kind of stuff just with the broadcast over the last several months, the way they shoot the guys coming in backstage and everything. And they had it in the arena too. I saw up around the video board in the center of Lucas Oil too. So I think for the live experience, that would be super helpful too. And just getting those stats live. So yeah, I liked all of that too. Good stuff. So yeah, I mean, I think we've covered the men's rumble. So should we briefly cover the women's rumble and then we'll talk about the two other matches? I think we can finish with Cody and Kevin Owens. I mean, the women's rumble, I'm going to be totally honest with you, I haven't seen the whole thing. I saw the ending of it. I was at my daughter, who's in the office here. She had a dance event yesterday. So the show started so early, I wasn't able to tune in until about the last 10 minutes of the women's match. There she is. but we did get some big returns. So, I mean, apparently Alexa Bliss signed a new deal. We talked about this on the show the last time we had a flagship. We were urging her to get as much money as she could from this company that likes to brag about how much money they're making. And apparently that's the deal she signed. She got a great response when she came out. Much bigger response than Charlotte Flair got. Certainly a bigger response than Nikki Bella got at 30. Where it was kind of funny, they showed the people watching at those new restaurants with the big IMAX screens, and they're like, yeah, the people went crazy, and like nobody was moving at all when Nikki Bella came out. So with Charlotte winning, it's not the most exciting thing. It is logical given where they're reportedly going, you know, with her and Tiffany Stratton. That's not a match that can headline, by the way, like not close. You can't really have Charlotte. I don't think you can have Charlotte wrestle Rhea Ripley again for the third time at Mania. You just can't do that. I would definitely have Charlotte and Tiffany switch on the heel face dynamic, because I don't think there's any way that WrestleMania crowd is going to cheer for Charlotte Flair over Tiffany Stratton. So, I mean, I'd go full bore Tiffany Stratton babyface and turn Charlotte heel. Otherwise, I think that dynamic's going to be problematic. Ryan Huffman, your thoughts on the Women's Rumble?
You know, going back to the conversation we had a few minutes ago about music, I can honestly tell you, like, when the women's music for about half of them hit, I was like, I don't know who half these people are right now. I enjoyed Jordynne Grace now being a part of WWE. Her pop and performance was pretty solid. Alexa Bliss, I was happy to see her back, although I hated the her bringing back that character. I wish they would have just gone away from her bringing out the doll and things like that. But overall, I thought as it moved through the match, it was pretty good. My pre-Royal Rumble pick was Charlotte Flair. Her entrance, getting the grand entrance where the camera was on her the entire way out and all the pyro. I didn't like that. I'm like, there's should be stuff going on in the ring right now. But I suppose, I think probably you guys know how I feel about all the Flayers. So, you guys can take over now.
Jesse, women's match. Give me your thoughts. Again, I'm not going to have a lot to add here because I haven't seen it in full.
Lyra Valkyria's wardrobe malfunction.
Hello.
Yeah, she thankfully got covered up and Liv Morgan actually noticed it and shoved her into the corner off camera. I thought that was a good move by her on that aspect too. A note I made was that my son would have gotten a louder pop in the Royal Rumble match than B-Fab got.
Yeah.
I think any one of our kids would have it at that point in time. Somebody's called the Bougie Bully. Who is the Bougie Bully? Goodness. What a
terrible name.
Very bad. Jordynne Grace, she's a unit. She's impressive. I'm looking forward to seeing her more on World Wrestling Entertainment Television.
Were you surprised she wasn't there at the end? I thought they would have had her more at the end.
Yeah, she was thrown out midway through. I took track of all of the women's eliminations in order. I mean, 15. She was thrown out right in the middle of the match.
Give her the Nikki spot, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
100%. Alexa Bliss got the most mammoth pop in that entire Rumble, as Justin alluded to in the chat, a Facebook group. And yeah, I mean, that just goes to show that I think she's going to probably get an extended push after what they just heard. And we'll see what happens with her merch moving forward. And Charlotte Flair, lastly, she came out, as Justin alluded to in the Facebook group as well, looking like a completely different human being.
She's been doing that work.
Yeah.
Getting that work done.
I mean, she is extremely lean as well. Coming from the fitness industry, I've seen that she's made a pretty drastic change probably when it comes to what she's doing on the fitness and nutrition level. So, yeah, I mean, there's zero surprise that she won this Rumble, though. And Nia Jax getting all those eliminations at once on the apron, I didn't like that either. Where like six of them just stood there in the apron. I think she knocked three of them out, but they gave credit for all six.
Yeah, I think that was better as an idea than it was an execution. I think there is a version of that that works really well, but I don't know if it was the timing or what, but it came off really bad on television, especially Bianca being one of those. What the fuck is up with that? She's just getting tossed out randomly.
One of my notes, I forgot to mention this with Nia Jax, but man, they go to the well every year with her, the where they like have 10 of them attack her. And then she just does the monster Hulk up thing and drops like 10 at a time. And I'm not a fan, but spot's probably about over at this point.
100%. And Bianca is somebody that I talked about that you could have easily had a build to go with Rhea Ripley later on, I think. And that could have main evented at WrestleMania somewhere. Maybe, like I said, move it to 42 next year. Last note, Roxanne Perez, 1 hour, 7 minutes. Former MVP. NXT champion. Yeah. I mean, she looked impressive in there. She's super young. She's like 22 years old, loads of experience, former Ring of Honor world champion as well. So look for her to get a huge push in the next couple of years and get shot to the moon at some point.
Do you guys think, like, I don't know, something about the end felt kind of botched. Do you guys think like someone accidentally like fell out of the ring on one of those spots? Or do you guys think they intended on that being the last two?
I didn't catch anything that made me raise my eyebrow, but
yeah, as I'm looking at who is left, I don't think there was anything accidental at all.
I mean, I supposed maybe Charlotte and Nia Vax would have made more sense as your last two rather than Roxanne Perez. But Roxanne was so good in the match that I was totally okay with it.
Yeah, she came across as a star for sure.
I mean, it's this match was one of those things where, like, I think for a large portion of it, I was like a fish seeing shiny stuff, just like with the lighting and the atmosphere of that Lucas Oil Stadium. I mean, it looked incredible. The novelty of the ticker I found pleasant, you know, trying to get used to that. And it took me an embarrassing long time to realize that the entranceway was raised, because there's multiple times when a lady was running down. It's like, why do they look so fucking huge compared to the crowd? I didn't realize that, you know, they were up way higher than the crowd. But
the fire really has changed.
but the match was, it felt a little bit too comedic at times. Although, you know, Chelsea Green, I thought, was incredibly entertaining throughout. What ended up hurting it for me the most was just, again, not caring about Charlotte winning the match. And I find her winning to be more offensive, again, than Jey Uso winning the Men's Rumble.
All right, Justin, where should they have gone with the Women's Rumble and who should have won?
Oh, fuck. I don't pay enough attention to have any clue. I just know I don't care about Charlotte.
Yeah.
I mean, Roxanne winning would have been pretty interesting as to where they would go with that. Obviously, this is a hindsight as 2020. They probably couldn't have predicted that Alexa Bliss would have such a bigger reaction than Charlotte would. I think if they had heard that, they may have changed their mind and maybe had her win. But again, I'm just not emotionally connected to enough of these ladies to have a real strong opinion anyway.
I want to show you guys something. My daughter is keeping track of the cursing on this show. She's got one of my AirPods in.
Sorry. My bad.
It says at the top, words dad said.
Okay.
I'll turn this into my wife later.
No. On the playback, I need to be curious how many times I dropped.
Oh no, sorry. It says bad words said, not just dad.
Yeah. That's hilarious. There's someone in this chat here who's very, very active. I think we agree with about 60-65% of your opinions. I will say this, though, when you're saying something is not good from a casual fan's perspective, I think the money that is growing out of World Wrestling Entertainment's ears would disagree with you. They don't care. They're making money hand over fist, and they don't need to change anything.
Yeah. Well said. Well said. So you and Michael talked about this on Unplugged, Jesse. Who do we think is going to wrestle Rhea Ripley at Mania? Because it seems to me there's really two choices. Becky, who didn't return. You know, we all thought maybe she was going to be in this match. Maybe she comes back and works Rhea. Or you'd have to turn Bianca heel, right? Because nobody's getting cheered against Rhea Ripley.
I don't want to see either of those two. Call me Alexa Bliss after what I saw last night.
Okay.
Can you turn her heel, though, based on the reaction that she got? I don't know.
Nah, I don't think so. I mean, that's kind of a conundrum for me, is who she would wrestle. Mm-hmm. Because, like, Charlotte could be the heel and work her, but they've already done it twice. So I don't feel like they could go that direction. So I'm very interested where they go for Ripley, who's by far the biggest star in the women's division.
Yeah, you're not gonna turn Bayley. That's for sure. I mean, that's the first time we just mentioned her name here on the show. And they were talking about in the beginning her being a potential repeat winner and kind of hyping it up too. And she was nowhere near there. Io Sky, I mean, same thing. I don't think she's in a position to step up either, seeing as she already lost to Liv Morgan on Saturday night's main event. But if Jey Uso lost to Gunther on Saturday night's main event, hey, maybe Io can get a match for the title.
Yeah. All right. Real quickly here, that tag title match, I did see the whole thing. I thought it was fine where it was slotted in. I'm not a huge Motor City Machine Guns guy in 2025. I loved them 20 years ago in TNA. You know, but the crowd likes them.
Huffman,
go ahead. You like
them. I was trying to raise your fist or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, I thought this was fine where it was slotted in the show. It was a decent match. You got to settle down after the Rumble. It was quick for a 2 out of 3 falls match, 14 minutes long. DIY retains. I was not really surprised by that. I mean, I don't have any big notes on this match or anything.
I actually, like, my take on it is I think it's two really good teams that can put on a good wrestling match. I think they probably weren't allotted enough time just because of, I mean, I looked up yesterday and, you know, pay-per-view started here at 5 and first Rumble match was over at like 6:30, 6:40, throwing all the advertising. I'm like, God, this is going to be like a 5-hour show for 4 matches. And I don't know. Yeah, it performed fine. Didn't really do anything for me with like the Street Profits getting involved and just kind of that continued drowning of the tag division, I guess, right now.
That was my biggest note. Now I'm remembering, talked about this last night, was when the Street Profits were out there, I just thought, what are we doing here? What a waste. Why are these guys still together? You know, no matter how many times they're going to try to like remake the Street Profits, they've reached their peak years ago. They're never going to hit that again. And, you know, we've talked about it for years on here. They've never given Montez Ford a shot, really, to be a good single. I think Dawkins, too, could be. I mean, he could be in that U.S. title scene as a single, I think. I think he has potential. I think the potential for Ford is higher. It's one of the most questionable things I see on WWE month to month is that why are these guys still together? I have no investment in it. Do something new. Let's see if they can sink or swim, you know, on their own. So yeah, that was my biggest takeaway. People that weren't even in the match. Jesse, you have anything on the match you want to jump in on?
It was a good All Elite Wrestling style tag team match. That's the way I felt because the people in that building were snoozing in between it, which means it was probably pretty good from a work rate perspective. If I'm being honest, I enjoyed it for what it was. So that's, yeah. Other than that, they had no emotional investment in it. Just fun watching four pretty solid in-ring performers go.
Yeah. Justin, anything?
Yeah, that was a tag team match that I watched for the 14 minutes that it happened. And then one of the teams won and one of them lost.
Well said. Well said. All right. Cody, KO, let's talk about it. Yeah, my daughter's favorite. Loves Cody Rhodes. I thought Cody, when he came out, the entrance was awesome. His gear was great. The coat was really cool that he wore out. Owens, that t-shirt, the Canadian Dream, son of the, whatever it says, systems
Security
technician.
Security systems technician.
Yeah, is one of the great wrestling shirts ever released. Love it. We didn't think it would happen, but man, it would be so great to see Kevin Owens, you know, win that world title and get a run with it. I would have never picked it to happen. If it would have happened, I would have been overjoyed. My daughter would have been angry over here shaking her head. But no, I mean, the match was really fun. I thought it really heated up the last 10 minutes, like I said. And the ladder spots were insane. The finish looked brutal, the way that KO took that slam on the outside through the ladder and kind of folded himself up. Yeah, it's just Cody's title run to me. The crowd's still really into him. It's just creatively hasn't been that interesting to me for a while. I would have liked to have seen a shift going back to that first Saturday night's main event. But the match delivered, I felt. Justin, give me your take.
Yeah, I feel kind of bad because about 10 minutes into the match, I sent you guys a text message saying, I am bored. And I think part of that was I was just kind of angry by having to wait 15 minutes between matches. Like that just boggles my mind and just kind of took me out of the show. And, you know, you add in the tag team match that I wasn't really all that engaged with, you know, I found myself kind of on my phone for the first part of that match. But like, no joking, 2 seconds after I sent you guys that text, like it fucking started cooking. Sorry. Add another one to the list, Eden. It was like right by when Cody did like the backdrop of Kevin onto the ladder, and that just sounded amazing. And they just got after everything after that was incredible. That fisherman suplex from the top rope that Cody took and bounced off and just sold it like a freaking champ. The blood obviously was awesome, but it does make me curious thinking about, you know, where's all this going? They were very specifically trying to get that shot of looking up at Cody celebrating up on the top rope while kind of looking at a bloody Kevin, you know, being taken care of by the medical team and specifically Sami Zayn, who, when Cody was going for the titles, was looking at Cody and not really, you know, looking after his friends. So that to me felt very specific and felt like something we need to pay attention to going forward. Yeah, these two beat the shoot out of each other. And it ended up being an absolute classic of a match. Winged Eagle forever.
Winged Eagle forever. That is right. Ryan Huffman?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I was thinking about like the Winged Eagle. I'm like, you know, might be the last time we see that now for a while. Thought both did great. Some pretty brutal bumps there. Kind of makes me wonder maybe what's next for Kevin Owens. I was just checking. I was trying to look into when his contract's actually up, and I thought I was reading maybe like May of 2025. So is there really anything else left to do with him in WWE?
No.
He didn't resign?
I don't know. I have no idea. I never heard.
I know he's expected to resign, but I'm not sure if he has or not.
Yeah.
I think like the Observer had something in the newsletter a few months ago where they said that they think he maybe already did, but there hasn't been any firm reporting on that I know of.
I mean, he like to Ryan's point, he's done everything he can in WWE. I think for the wrestling industry as a whole, it'd be much better for him to jump to AEW, especially when you factor in, and while these people aren't near of a biggest star as Kevin Owens, you factor in the incomings of Malachi Black and we assume Ricky Stark, you know, it just seems like now would be the right time to make the move. Cause it's never going to probably get any better for him than right now. He's lost a lot of world title matches by at this point. So I think he's just not going to be viewed as being at, you know, a top of the card guy. Now maybe they'll pay him like he is, and then they're going to be forced to, but I don't know. I think it'd just be best for everybody. It'd be best for business if Kevin Owens made the jump. Plus, you know, as freaking awesome and timeless as his WWE theme music is, which is incredible, I want him to go back. I want Kevin Steen with his old Ring of Honor music.
I think I played the show out to that a few months ago, didn't I?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
All right, Jesse.
Yeah, commentary made a point that, or Punk made it the night before too, that he had lost 5 world title matches at the Royal Rumble. Make it 6.
Yep.
Psychology-wise, I felt these guys did a wonderful job in just using the ladder as a weapon. They were throwing fists for most of this, so this was a good old-fashioned fight the way that it should have been. Take note for those who are putting on ladder matches moving forward. It should be structured similarly to what we saw last night. On that fisherman suplex, yeah, Kevin hit his head as well. Almost looked like he got it worse. Kudos to, in terms of the 100% disregard for his body, if you subtract that, Kevin Owens is this generation's Mick Foley. Just, he can be put in comedy spots, serious spots, face, heel. He's just so good that he gets a crowd reaction no matter what, and his talent would be best served, I think, moving elsewhere to see if he can go up the card a little bit higher, maybe make a little bit more money and get a championship, because this guy is a surefire Hall of Famer, no questions asked, and he's one or two in terms of my favorite performers in World Wrestling Entertainment. So bravo, Kevin Owens. Nice work.
Well said. I love that segue, bringing up Mick Foley, to me promoting classics here at the end of the pod again. I mean, I don't really have anything to add outside of that. I think you guys all hit all the big spots. Thought the match delivered. It was very, very good. I actually want to rewatch that match maybe today before I do my grades for the Patreon supporters. But yeah, it was very good. I can't fault them for keeping it on Cody. You know, as over as Jey Uso is, Cody is clearly the biggest star in the promotion still. And so, you know, I can't fault a company for keeping the title belt on him. Yeah, Justin.
Were you going to say something about the Winged Eagle?
Oh, I was just pointing at it behind me.
Oh, okay. Shoot. I thought you had some insider information.
Oh, about if they're going to keep using it?
Yeah.
I hope they do, at least for Saturday night's main event, you know. Looks great every time it's on TV, even with the WWE logo on it, because it's like the remade Winged Eagle. Yeah, still looks awesome. Looks awesome. So, yeah, that was last night's Royal Rumble, you guys. I mean, maybe to the maybe to the benefit of us, I got to say, you know, Jey Uso is the main guy on this thumbnail, and we've done some of our biggest live audience we've had in a while here on YouTube today. So it gets people to click. Who am I to disagree with Jey Uso?
The Yeet movement is here.
The Yeet movement is here. Yeah. Daughter, did you have something you wanted to say?
Yeah. I am a big fan of Cody Rhodes, but womp 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 that Becky Lynch didn't come back. And
she's tallying the words right now, Justin.
And there is 11 bad words said on it.
Apologize, Eden. We do have parental advisory on this podcast, so sorry for the bad words, you guys. My daughter was the audience day in the office because she was fighting with her other sister, so I brought her down here.
I was really hoping she was going to get on the mic and just drop an F-bomb.
Oh, my God. Justin, you're saying it wrong. It's oh, man. No, we have a good time here on Top Row Nation, you guys. Once in a while, the kids make a guest appearance. Love to have you for our next show. If you're new here to the stream, make sure you subscribe here on the YouTube channel if you have not already, or on the podcast feeds. This will be going up on the podcast feeds immediately after. And as someone checking in the chat on Jey Uso right now, we're all
my man king in the north
because we're mad that Mido Uso won. Oh yeah, I mean, I wasn't happy, I'm not gonna lie, but it is what it is. If you guys like classic wrestling, become a patron of Top Rope Nation. Jesse mentioned it. You can get a free trial right now. I'm going to put the QR code on the screen. 7-day free trial. We got over 170 bonus podcasts on there. Some of the best shows we do are the classics, where we go back in time and we really relive an old show. We have all the context about what was happening in the moment in time. Talk about all the matches, of course. Oh, usually over 2 hours. We're going to be doing Royal Rumble 2000 this week. We were going to record it last week. If you can't tell, I was sick. I'm almost fully recovered. As my daughter shakes her head. Yeah, I was running a 102 fever, not feeling the best on the day that we were going to record. So we pushed it to this week. That's coming out soon. But like I said, there's tons, I mean, dozens and dozens of classics, over 70 of them, I think, in the archives, deep dives and lots of old wrestling shows. TRN Unplugged from Jesse, TRN Extra from all of us. We got merch drawings, all kinds of stuff. Mr. Ryan Huffman here. He has been a patron since years ago, and we always appreciate his support. Always fun to have him on the show. Huffman, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me. And at least one thing's for sure, it is officially WrestleMania season, and that is that is good for business. So looking forward to how things come together here.
What do you got?
Hi, Sophie, if you're watching this.
Oh, one of her friends, fathers. It's a big show at TRN, and sometimes she listens to the pod. There you go. Jesse, it's been fun. I enjoyed your notes on Jey Uso. You're way better prepared for this than I was, so appreciate that.
I cleared, like I said, it makes such a difference having your phone in another room. I was locked on this. Three things. Shout out, John Hope. Hopefully you're recovering. Dante, I hope you have fully recovered as well. I know you were having some issues a few months ago. And then I believe if that is the king in the north when it comes to your social media handle, I truly appreciate your wrestling take. So thank you for watching.
Yes, absolutely. Justin, you're going to have to go wrangle that circus upstairs at your house here.
Yeah, I took him to my mom, so I'm going to go take a nap. That's what I'm going to do.
Nice. Yes.
Very nice.
But, were you drinking?
I had a Guinness NA. Because I also I was unable to watch the second half of Tottenham, so I was watching that while we were potting. They finally won.
Nice. Very nice.
But real quick, you know, Royal Rumble 2000, finally somebody's going to have the courage to step up and give Paul Levesque the recognition that he is too humble to bestow upon himself. Paul, we're going to give you your flowers, buddy.
Yes, we are. What a fun show. Awesome tag, of course, Hunter and Foley. Debut of Taz. The Rumble have many talking points. Good stuff. That's coming later this week. So if you're a patron, look for that in the days ahead. Appreciate all you guys' support.
And Sophie, have fun at dance today.
Yes.
Have a great time at dance, Sophie.
Yes. It's been a good time. We'll see you all next time. Take care.
Yeet.
Big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a 3-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.